And be sure to tell Josh and Leslie Ryder at Dylan Rings that Joey, that crazy man on the radio, sent you. I think coming up we'll have Brylan Hollihan in the next hour in person in studio. Look forward to talking to Brylan. Got a new book coming out. I think y'all might enjoy in the listening audience. And, of course, we'll have Caroline Dobson. I'm not sure if it's in studio over the phone in the 2 o'clock hour, but look forward to talking to Caroline Dobson, who is, of course, candidate for Congress in the brand-new Alabama District 2. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center, this is WACV Coosada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Ukrainian drones have attacked a major oil refinery and a drone factory in the province of Tatarstan. Russian regional authorities say 12 people were injured in that attack. Heavy gunfire erupting in the downtown area of Haiti's capital as police battled gang members near the National Palace for several hours. Local media reporting that at least one policeman was shot on Monday. That's after he and other officers were forced to flee and armored car that was later set on fire. U.S. job openings barely changed in February, staying at historically high levels, and a sign that American job market remains strong. The Labor Department reports employers added 8.76 million job vacancies in February. Before 2021, they'd never topped 8 million. This is SRN News.
Biden has started tracking Christians like cattle. Yes, you heard it right. He pressured banks to tag transactions for certain keywords. One of them is Holy Bible. That's a horrifying and creepy attack on our religious freedoms. It's made possible by a digital financial system that makes you a sitting duck. But you do have other options. I recommend a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnau, a news analyst, a best-selling author, and evangelical leader to people who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Biden's anti-Christian bureaucracy while also preserving your retirement savings. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. There are no strings attached. So text FAITH to the number 989898 right now and take action to protect your own prosperity.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Truck Lines, where dump truck drivers are in demand. Wiley Sanders is on the grow. We need dump truck drivers now. Call 855-77-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. This is Rich Thomas. We definitely want everybody to stay weather aware, especially as we go into the evening and nighttime hours tonight with an increasing severe weather threat across the area, including all modes of severe weather, and tornadoes are possible. Showers and thunderstorms likely this evening and tonight as a line of storms sweeps across the area. Our free weather app will keep you on top of the action with instant push notifications. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. Windy tonight, low 56, and tomorrow, much cooler. A brisk day with highs only in the 60s. And gusty winds will make it seem cooler. Maybe some upper 30s by Thursday and Friday night. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Whether you're buying a home or auto or consolidating debt, CBNS Bank's personal loans get you where you need to go. Go to cbsbank.com to find a location near you or apply online today. All loans subject to credit approval, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, these are today's top stories. Alabama lawmakers are back in the state house this week with legislation to legalize certain types of gambling on the agenda. The House is in favor of allowing sports betting in casinos, while the Senate got rid of sports betting and put limits on the number of casinos. Both chambers agree on a state lottery. Trillions of cicadas are about to emerge in numbers not seen in decades and possibly centuries. They stay buried year after year, only crawling out from underground every 13 or 17 years. Now, the rare cicada double dose is about to return. The last time two cicada broods came out together was in 1803. Governor Kay Ivey announced the state of Alabama saw a surge in investments last year with new and expanding companies bringing over $6.4 billion into the state. Montgomery County played a significant role, attracting $6.29 million, showcasing the state's growth and job creation efforts. From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, I'm Sky Mosley.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender.
This is former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch. Alabama is a great place to live and work and raise our families because Alabamians are a good people of faith and traditional values. But a huge gambling bill in Montgomery would change our culture forever. 10 massive casinos bringing more crime to our big cities and small towns, highly addictive cell phone betting, and the state selling the lie of lottery riches to the poor and most vulnerable. With all that's wrong in the world, this is no time to give up on our traditional values in Alabama. Call and ask your senator to be the leader you elected them to be. To stand strong and vote no on gambling and keep Alabama a great place to live and work and raise our families. Thank you.
Call your senator at 334-261-0800. 334-261-0800. 334-261-0800. Paid for by Eagle Forum, Alabama.
The Tears family has been your local Roto-Rooter service since 1964. Drain cleaning, plumbing repair, and those troublesome septic tanks, no problem. Technology has changed a bit in the last 54 years. Video inspections of lines to locate problems is available, as well as scheduling your appointment online. River Region residents have trusted Roto-Rooter for over half a century. You can too. Call today at 272-7130 or visit online at rotorooteralabama.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And we go troubles down the drain.
Roto-Rooter.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for Montgomery's conversational radio show. It's News and Views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
What the hell are we doing here?
We are behaving the way a superpower ought to be.
Well, our behavior has produced some cracking results.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the goal. You know the thing.
Joey Clark.
Welcome to the second hour. News and Views, or as we're now calling it, Joey Clark Live. You know, folks, a robber, you know, somebody robbed somebody, a robber who justified his theft by saying that he really helped his victims by giving a boost to, say, like, retail trade or to the larger economy, would probably find few converts. Like, I robbed you, but I spent it in a way that helped the larger American economy. But when this theory is clothed in, say, Keynesian equations or impressive references to the multiplier effect, it unfortunately carries more conviction. That's from Murray Rothbard. So allow me to begin this hour with an unpopular truth. You are not entitled to a job or a certain standard of living. Your needs do not give you a right to anyone else's life. To receive charity or an opportunity is one thing, but to regard one's needs as legitimate claims on the lives of others is to court tyranny and pervert justice. Though you are free to pursue a job or create your own opportunities, it is not the role of government in a free society to ensure your livelihood. Yet Americans seem to believe the opposite, trained for generations now to conjure up an endless list of deeds and grievances as the primrose path to power, agency, wealth, and liberation. Of course, such a path is nothing but a blind alley towards destruction, one that only guarantees success to a privileged predatory elite like that bloodsucker Hillary Clinton. Don't get me started on Mitch McConnell. He's not going away until 2027. Government at its best is meant to protect against invasions of persons and property. Government at its worst always invades persons and property in the name of defending them. For every job provided or livelihood protected by the government, directly or indirectly, someone else must pay the price. There is no such thing as a free lunch. To protect the government must always prey upon some other subject. To provide, the government must always exploit some other guy. Indeed, when the collective need masquerades as a basis for justice, the government will be swift to brand individual liberty as the enemy of the people, rationalizing its predation in the name of provision and protection. But protection from what? It doesn't matter. Any need will do. Any perceived fright will suffice. Inequality, inefficiency, or instability. Take your pick. Once the government becomes the guarantor of jobs and the guardian of a certain standard of living, any justification, moral, scientific, or otherwise, will be authorized. Just look at American governments today, national, state, or municipal. As Joe Biden showcased years ago, that three-letter word, J-O-B-S, jobs, man, not a joke, is a potent political issue used by Democrats and Republicans alike to court voters. The economy continues to be thoroughly politicized, as Frederick Bastiat's adage still applies. Government is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everybody else. Rather than looking at a given, say, inflation metric or quarterly jobs report with a sound economic eye, tracing the unseen factors and consequences of a given action, the political set, including Keynesian and monetarist court economists, view economic data points as symbolic flashpoints, a great series of fictions or as scientific experiments meant to be honed, engineered, and steered in order to stir the populace into this or that political action. A consumer price index report isn't just another data point. It's a chance to spin the political narrative in favor of one's preferred position while showing off one's latest clever equations that impress without ever proving much of anything. In his 2013 book, The Great Deformation, former congressman and Reagan Office of Management and Budget Director David Stockman reveals how the government's budget became an infernal jobs machine. Stockman writes, "Once the old-time balanced budget rule was discarded and the federal budget was turned into a tool of economic stabilization, the fundamental process of fiscal governance was thrown out of kilter. Every spending program and every feature of the revenue code became a quote-unquote jobs program and a tool of counter-cyclical macro management. The Keynesian framework transformed the budget into a type of macroeconomic plumbing system under which spending programs and tax expenditures became mere conduits through which to pump dollars into the economy. Such flows would compensate for the alleged shortfall of aggregate demand, according to the classical Keynesians, or spur underinvestment, underinvested and incentive-deprived sectors of the economy, according to the business-light Keynesians. In either case, politicians became immersed in log-rolling among claimants for tax relief or spending increases to spur output and jobs. Meanwhile, their comprehension of the dollars and cents of budgeting was overwhelmed by a cavalcade of spurious economic justifications. In a process that was subtle, cumulative, and inexorable, the federal budget was thereby captured by the forces of special interest lobbies and crony capitalism. Once the latter occupied the moral high ground and could argue that in raiding the Treasury, they were actually serving the public good of more jobs and more growth, the frail fiscal defenses of popular democracy were easily demolished. Folks, as long as we Americans continue to court government robbers and their crony robber barons for our daily bread, believing their supposedly moral or scientific justifications, we will continue to eat away at our freedom and prosperity. In the name of satisfying our needs, we will never be satisfied. Now, let's go to a concrete example. This is from the desk of Ron Paul. So the Senate calls out-of-control spending a national security threat. And yet, they keep spending anyway. Last month, the U.S. Senate passed a resolution saying that the over $34 trillion in growing national debt threatens national security. A few days later, a bipartisan majority of the Senate voted for $1.2 trillion in a spending bill. In addition to the usual increases in war and welfare spending, the bill funds gender transitioning for minors without parental consent and red flag laws, which allow law enforcement to seize an individual's firearms without due process. Before the passage of the latest spending bill, the Congressional Budget Office released a report predicting that the national debt would exceed the prior record of 106.4% of gross domestic product by 2028. Interest payments on the national debt are estimated to reach $870 billion this year, more than the government will spend on the military. The CBO estimates that unless Congress cuts spending, which is highly unlikely, by 2051, interest on the debt will exceed not just military spending, but spending on the two biggest items in the federal budget, Social Security and Medicare. As Eric Bohm of Reason Magazine points out, the CBO report understates how much federal spending will grow in the next several decades, since it cannot predict what crises future Congresses and presidents will exploit to ramp up federal spending. As he suggests, someone projecting 30 years ago how much government would spend in the future would not have included the increase in spending due to 9/11, the subsequent creation of the Homeland Security Industrial Complex, the forever wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, the housing meltdown, or the COVID lockdown. The hypothetical budget projection would also not have predicted legislation like the Medicare prescription drug benefit or Obamacare. The large and growing interest on the national debt puts pressure on the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates low. The Federal Reserve's rate increases, though relatively small, are one reason national debt payments rose by 32% last year. The need for the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates low will further erode the dollar's purchasing power, subjecting more Americans to the insidious inflation tax. It will eventually cause a loss of the dollar's world reserve currency status. This will result in a major economic meltdown that will likely lead to widespread civil unrest, the further growth of authoritarian movements on both the left and the right, and new restrictions on liberty. The only way out of this is for Congress to begin winding down the welfare warfare state. A good place to start is by cutting spending on militarism and foregoing interventionism. Savings from these cuts could be used to ensure those dependent on entitlement and welfare programs are not harmed as Congress winds down these programs. Responsibility for providing support for the truly needy should be returned to local and religious charitable institutions, while responsibility for education should be returned to local communities and parents. Congress should also pass legislation requiring any new spending to be offset by cuts in other federal spending and forbidding the Federal Reserve from purchasing federal debt instruments. These steps will be opposed by the special interests that benefit from the current system, but they are the only way to ensure the blessings of liberty and prosperity to our posterity. That's from the desk of Ron Paul. It's getting out of hand, folks. And I would like to think, say something like the military, something like the Pentagon. If you actually told the Pentagon and, say, the military contractors, well, we don't have as much money. We're not going to continue to balloon the debt to just pay y'all. So we need to prioritize here. And there's nothing like getting a cut in your, say, salary, a cut in your budget that makes you start to actually prioritize. Too often right now, we don't have an actual priorities list. Like, this is number one, this is number two, this is number three. We have like a wish list of 40, 50, 100 different, thousands of different things we want to spend money on. And it is leading to an irresponsible government that no matter who you choose, like Hillary Clinton says, get over yourself. That's the choice you have to make. But what choice is it? I can drink Pepsi or Coke all the live long day. Both are going to rot my teeth out. It's not a real choice. It's sort of the fake choice presented to us by the Ministry of Truth and the corporate press and all the wonderful public servants like Rodham, Clinton. And it's a farce that's leading us to ruin. You know, Mike Johnson is now floating a new deal. Ukraine gets $60 billion in exchange for Biden ending his ban on liquid natural gas exports. I don't understand at this point the rationale and the long game here when it comes to the fight between Russia and Ukraine. As I mentioned to Judge Napolitano, the Ukrainians used drones to hit Russia's third largest oil refinery, which prompted the White House to be quite angry with them. But U.S. equity futures are dipping lower as bond yields in the U.S. continue to move higher as crude continues to surge and is up another 2% on growing fears of Middle Eastern escalation after a senior Iranian commander was killed by an Israeli airstrike in Syria yesterday, with Iran immediately vowing revenge as well as Hezbollah vowing revenge. This is also as Ukraine once again struck oil infrastructure targets deep inside Russia, overnight hitting Russia's third largest refinery, 800-something miles approximately from the front lines. As oil price details, Ukrainian drones hit the primary refining unit of Russia's third largest refinery southeast of Moscow, more than 800 miles from the front line. This was on Tuesday, early today. Ukraine keeps striking Russian oil assets despite the Biden administration's unequivocal demands for a hard stop, suggesting that diplomatic fallout is now imminent. Whew. So we're getting squeezed further and further and further. But it's all for the good, right? The good guys are going to win, right? Because we're moral means we're doing the right thing, right? Now, the United States has repeatedly urged Ukraine to halt its drone attacks on Russia's oil refineries due to Washington's assessment that the strikes could lead to Russian retaliation and push up global oil prices. According to a Reuters estimate, the amount of Russian oil refining capacity that has been taken offline due to Ukrainian drone strikes is 14% of Russia's total refining capacity. It's a heck of a lot to lose. So we'll see as the world's heating up. It'd be one thing if we were like in a solid financial position as a nation. Not just financially, but like solid in terms of what we actually believe as a nation. It'd be great if Americans actually trusted their institutions. And it would still be a hell of a challenge to see what's going on in the rest of the world. But we're a basket case at home. And it's leading to a basket case foreign policy and economic policy globally. As a rising world in the Southern Hemisphere and in the East is starting to come more and more online. It's not a pretty time. But maybe, again, this is the birth pangs we have to go through for something new on the other side. Getting 334-272-9228 if you want to get in on the program. That's 334-272-9228. Now, back to the silly politicking that's going on. You know, James Carville just can't keep his mouth shut because I know too much, Joey. I just know too much about the Democratic Party in this country to keep my mouth shut. Well, in this clip, wearing some snazzy LSU gear. Looks vintage, James. He is going to lay out how, well, young voters are leaving the Democratic Party in droves.
You know, I've been very vocal about this. It's horrifying. Our numbers among younger voters, younger people of color, particularly males, we're not shedding them. They're leaving in the droves.
We're not shedding them. They're leaving in droves. You know, Carville, I definitely have disagreements with the guy, but he does have a keen political mind, and he's seeing it. I think there is something to what I've mentioned many times on the show. The true divide in this country, it hews to the political party, so partisanship, I think, is the number one form of a petty bigotry in the country. You know, we could go into that. But aside from the partisanship, what is partisanship playing on in order to create a big divide? And honestly, I don't think it's race, especially when you look at the younger population. It's not race. It's not ethnicity. It's not necessarily even economic class. It maybe has something to do with class, but that has more to do with class in terms of who has power and who doesn't. Not so much who has money and who doesn't, though those two, of course, overlap. But I maintain, and I'm not the only one, that the biggest divide in this country right now is men and women, in particular, single men and women. You're talking about an astounding separation there. less and less people getting married. The divorce rate's even higher. And young men and young women just ain't talking to each other all that much anymore. And I guess I'm part of the problem, but I keep to myself when it comes to anybody, honestly. I'll talk to a young lady if she wants to talk. I'll talk. I'm blue in the face. I'll talk. I'll try to be the solution, not be the problem, but we'll see. But that's, I think, going to shape this election the most. And if enough young people, whether black or Hispanic or anything else, are starting to see, well, the system is corrupt. As Carville said yesterday, Trump and RFK Jr. get the F it vote. People just want to say F it when it comes to this system. Yeah, that's right. And there's a growing population by the day who is tired of, say, the Hillary Clintons of the world or the Mitch McConnells of the world telling everybody to get over it. This is how practical politics work. This is how our system works. We pretend to give you a choice while we do what we want to do anyhow. 272-9228. If you want to hop in on the program, I believe Brylin Hollihan will be here any moment. Before he gets here, this part of the program brought to you by Alabama Home Mortgage. And there at Alabama Home Mortgage, Kim Williams and her team, well, they're ready to help you out whether you're looking to buy a home or if you're looking to refinance your home. Now, the economy's nuts. Like interest rates being higher and whatnot, but you can't make your decision about buying a home just based off national headlines. In fact, not even state headlines. What you need to think about is your own economy, your own hearth and home, so to speak. And Alabama Home Mortgage can help you do just that. They'll sit down with you, Kim and Madeline both. They'll sit down with you, get to know you, your goals in buying a home, and they'll walk you through that home buying process from pre-approval all the way to closing day. And of course, with refinance deals, if you're stuck under a mountain of credit card debt or you want to reinvest in your family or your property, they can get you an amazing deal there at Alabama Home Mortgage, especially if you're a veteran, though. There are a lot of veterans walking around who don't know about the VA home loan programs. They have not taken advantage of these benefits they earned through their service. Well, if you're interested, if you're a veteran, call up Alabama Home Mortgage today, whether you're looking to buy or refi. That number, 567-4223. That's 567-4223. Or you can always visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. There is a difference in mortgage companies. Let Kim and Madeline prove that to you today. NMLS number 1586368 and Equal Housing Lender.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hi, this is Bo Goodson from the Goodson Group. Selling a home in the River region in this market takes some planning and preparation to be successful. Here are some steps to take to get your home sold fast. Remember the five P's. Prepare the home. Fresh coat of paint inside and out, and complete any repairs needed. Professionally clean the home. A deep cleaning of floors, cabinets, windows, and blinds will leave a great impression for future buyers. Provide a home warranty for the buyer to give the buyer peace of mind after the closing. Provide a closing cost allowance for the buyer to help them be able to afford your home. Price your home to sell, not sit. A comparative market analysis from a local realtor will demonstrate what other properties have sold for in your neighborhood. Well-priced homes sell faster with less hassle. Houses are selling fast and sellers are getting top dollar. For all the answers, call Bo Goodson at the Goodson Group, 221-2883 or 551-0225.
It's a fact. Guys hate going to the doctor. But when it comes to erectile dysfunction and low testosterone issues, men from all over Montgomery have been thrilled seeing the providers at Montgomery Men's Health. Men all the way up to 95 years old have jump-started their sex drive and energy levels. Lots of men suffer with ED for years, but now they're able to enjoy sex again. Tom from Montgomery said, "Montgomery Men's Health has changed my life. I have been able to be intimate with my wife for the first time in 5 years. She thought this problem was because of her, but the pills never worked for me. I had given up until I went to the clinic and realized there were more options for erectile dysfunction. Now I'm happy and my wife is happy. A visit for only $99. And that includes all testing, including a PSA and testosterone test. Give the guys at the clinic a call at 334-440-3663. That's 334-440-3663. Or go to MontgomeryMen'sHealth.com.
Are you tired of the mainstream media's biased reporting? Do you want to stay informed on the news that really matters to you? Look no further than 1819 News. At 1819 News, we bring you the latest in Alabama news, politics, sports, culture, and more. We've assembled a team of journalists with Alabama values dedicated to the truth and the truth alone. Visit us at 1819news.com today. That's 1819news.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Honest News, Alabama values.
Now you can add the power of digital advertising to the number one reach of radio. Let Blue Water's 20 years of local advertising and marketing success show you how. Grow your business with a complete suite of digital solutions combined with the reach of the most listened to radio group in the River region. Call us or go to BlueWaterBroadcasting.com to find out how we can increase your return on investment. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
Call Prune Masters, the professional pruners with over 30 years of experience, and that's all they do. To find out how you can get your hedges professionally pruned, call 220-2200 for a free estimate. Prune Masters, 220-2200.
Honey, did you call an electrician to put in that new bathroom outlet?
No, I thought I'd just get Cousin Ray.
Yeah, he's not a real electrician.
Oh, Ray's handy. He can do anything.
Being handy and being an electrician are two different things. Electricity is complicated and potentially dangerous. Each year, there are thousands of home fires caused by faulty wiring. You need an expert. To wear the Crosby Electric uniform, you have to undergo background checks, drug testing, continuing education, and rigorous safety training. When you need electrical work, or if you just like someone to assess your home for safety, call the experts at Crosby Electric.
So, how about that nice outlet Ray installed in the bathroom?
Do you think it's safe?
It's fine. See, when I plug in my electric razor, it...
Now the lights are out. I am not sleeping a wink until you get Crosby Electric out here.
Don't take chances with electricity. Call the experts at Crosby Electric, 272-2085, or visit us at CrosbyElectric.com.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender. The Johnny Adams Law Firm, proud sponsor of the Rich Thomas Weather Network. You can't control the weather, but you can control your drive. Be aware of your surroundings in any weather. Be a defensive driver. Your family and friends will thank you. From the Johnny Adams Law Firm.
Hi, everybody. This is Rich Thomas. We definitely want everybody to stay weather aware, especially as we go into the evening and nighttime hours tonight with an increasing severe weather threat across the area, including all modes of severe weather, and tornadoes are possible. Showers and thunderstorms likely this evening and tonight as a line of storms sweeps across the area. Our free weather app will keep you on top of the action with instant push notifications. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. Windy tonight, low 56, and tomorrow, much cooler. A brisk day with highs only in the 60s. And gusty winds will make it seem cooler. Maybe some upper 30s by Thursday and Friday night. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Web Bobo with Capital Tractor. The Z700 series is the star of Kubota's line of zero-turn mowers, and our special spring pricing makes it easier than ever to take one home today. Powering Alabama, Kubota and Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
Live, local talk, the River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Program. That's 272-9228. And, well, I love that a new generation of folks is rising up. And one of the shining lights, and I'm not just picking him because I agree with him on a lot of policy, I think he really is a talented rising young star, is Vivek Ramaswamy. He earned my vote in the primary, even though it was a foregone conclusion for Trump. He already endorsed Trump, but he earned my humble little vote in the primary. And here's a sample. We haven't played a lot of Vivek lately because he's been a little quieter, but you know, rightfully so, you're not running for president anymore. But he was on my adopted godfather's program, Sean Hannity. I don't know if I should have done that with Sean. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But here we have Vivek on with Hannity, laying out, I think, a message resonating with a lot of people.
Third is Sean to also level up, to rise up and say, we're not just going to say this is who we're against, the Biden administration or the radical left. We have to see the problem for what it is, yes. But we also have to say this is what we stand for. This is what an alternative looks like. And so if the left is preaching their message of race and gender and sexuality and climate, I think it's time for the conservative movement to say we stand for the individual, family, nation, God. That beats race, gender, sexuality, and climate if we have the courage to actually stand for something. So that'd be my advice to Republicans this year is, yes, we are up against a machine. Yes, we're up against a dishonest opposition. But we can't fall into the trap of just playing whack-a-mole, just criticizing the other side, or dare I say it, we'll have the same results we've had in 2022 and before. If we want to win decisively, and I see Donald Trump taking steps in this direction, and I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that we go in this direction too, we have to articulate what we stand for as conservatives, as Americans, stand for our sovereignty, stand for an alternative vision. And if we give the American people that, young or old, black or white, they're going to flock behind our alternative vision. That's what we conservatives need to step up and do this year, and we have our work cut out for us.
Again, Vivek Ramaswamy, and you can see why he went from being a no-name to, well, being a household name. Even if you aren't voting for him, pretty impressive work by Vivek. He probably would have been the better State of the Union response. Yeah, well, not necessarily for the Republican establishment, because there's some disagreements there. I think Vivek's 100% right that it's not going to cut it just to talk about mourning in America. It is a dark time in this country right now, and it's going to take, I think, fresh legs, a return to first principles, and in many ways a rebuilding of our country on top of the actual values, principles, and well, structure of the United States Constitution. So I maintain we pay a lot of lip service to that Constitution, but do we actually follow it? No, I think it's something more like the Administrative Act passed in the 1940s, like 1946. That seems to rule the roost much more. The interagency process seems to rule the roost much more than the actual elected officials. Have you ever seen those committee hearings where the unelected bureaucrat, especially like a State Department person, is acting like they're the boss, not, the, say, senators or congressmen? Well, they're acting that way because they are the boss. Congressmen, senators, well, not as much senators, but congressmen come and go. But the bureaucrats are there for a lifetime often. And it's time that we in the United States will say, hey, we actually want a government of, by, and for the people, not an unaccountable elite that's creating a bunch of bad outcomes and impoverishing us in ways more than just financially. Now, a great message I ran across that I think was shared initially by James Lindsay, but it's a clip of Jordan Peterson. And Peterson, well, he shares an incredibly important message. You know, on the show, we've been talking more and more what it means to be Christian. And, you know, Peterson is one who's created, I think, a resurgence of especially young people who've been lost and kind of lost to the world and to the traditions they were supposed to inherit. And I guess there are a lot of complicated reasons for why there's been this loss. But Peterson has seemingly reinvigorated a lot of folks, some who fell into agnosticism, atheism, some who still believe but kind of fell away from organized religion and getting together with folks, people whose family structure was broken, people that go through, say, a crucible like drug addiction or alcoholism. And so Peterson often will refer to the Bible. You know, a lot of his lectures that are most popular have to be on the, or often on the Old Testament. And I believe he's got a new book coming out on the book of Exodus, a sort of commentary and meditation on the book of Exodus. So this particular clip is, say, a commentary or meditation on the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And I think Peterson, well, actually gets the point. It's one I've been trying to make for quite a while, but I think he nails it here. Let's listen in together.
So the third commandment, depends on how you count them, but the third commandment is generally held to indicate something like, do not use God's name in vain. And people think that means don't swear, and it kind of means that in some trivial way. But mostly what it means is, do not claim divine motivation for self-serving behavior. And that's what all the protesters are doing. We're so compassionate in public. It's like, no, I don't think so. I think you're narcissistic psychopaths, fundamentally. And if you're not, well, at that moment, you're certainly possessed by that spirit. Look at how good we are. That's why Christ says in the Gospels not to let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If you're going to be good, do it in secret. Why? So you don't fall prey to the temptation to make your good subordinate to your pride. Mm. Right? That's what the bloody Oedipal mothers do all the time. Mm. Look how much I love my son. Yeah, he doesn't even have a penis anymore. We solved that problem for him.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It's so bloody. It's so brutal. It's so dark. It's virtually unimaginable.
Man, well said. How much do we do in the name of what's right, in the name of God, that is in fact just an excuse or an exercise in vanity? Hey, folks, we're going to hit a quick break, and I believe Brylon is here, so we'll be right back.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
This is former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch. Alabama is a great place to live and work and raise our families because Alabamians are a good people of faith and traditional values. But a huge gambling bill in Montgomery would change our culture forever. 10 massive casinos bringing more crime to our big cities and small towns, highly addictive cell phone betting, and the state selling the lie of lottery riches to the poor and most vulnerable. With all that's wrong in the world, this is no time to give up on our traditional values in Alabama. Call and ask your senator to be the leader you elected them to be. To stand strong and vote no on gambling and keep Alabama a great place to live and work and raise our families. Thank you.
Call your senator at 334-261-0800. 334-261-0800. 334-261-0800. Paid for by Eagle Forum, Alabama.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Here, news and views, but we're changing it over to Joey Clark live, slowly but surely. And our next guest, as promised, we have him in the studio here. His name is Brylon Hollihan. Hey, Brylon, good to see you in person.
Joey, happy Tuesday. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be in Montgomery.
Happy Tuesday. So what brings you to Montgomery?
Well, I'm just here today. We've been in the State House. I try to come once a session and meet with some of our legislatures. So I just wrapped up a meeting with Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth. We were with Cynthia Allman before then, Gerald Allen before that. We had lunch with Garland Gutcher. And met with some of our caucus friends and had a great time. So really appreciate them and the support. Today's meetings were just about making sure that my generation gets a seat at the table going forward. And they were very receptive to that. The Lieutenant Governor was very, very receptive to making sure that going forward in the state of Alabama, that our generation gets a seat. I'll be voting for the first time this November. And so that's pretty cool to get to talk to them about that and all the things that are coming up in this session. So busy time to be in Montgomery, but excited to talk to you.
And so for folks who don't know, you're 17?
17. Yes,
and you have an executive position in what, the Youth Advisory Council
yes,
for the GOP?
I'm the co-chair of the RNC's inaugural Youth Advisory Council.
So how do you end up in something like that?
Yeah, so it started after the 2022 midterms. I was a little disappointed in how the Republicans performed in that election thought that there was a problem. And a lot of fingers were being pointed, a lot of blame was being thrown around about what was the problem? Was it our candidates? Was it who was endorsing the candidates? Was it the way that we were addressing issues? What was it? And Joey, to be honest, I didn't think it was any of those issues. I thought it was simply our lack of engagement with my generation. Hmm. And so in January, I wrote this long-form op-ed titled "The GOP Must Address the Elephant in the Room, Gen Z." And it immediately got on Fox News the next morning, made national news, kind of went viral. And I got a call from the RNC chairwoman, and I talk about this in my book in the first chapter. And I'd never been reached out to by the RNC. I didn't really know where this was going. I was a little scared. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to get blacklisted. Like, I just called the party. I now have a meeting with the chairwoman. It's kind of like called in the principal's office from my perspective in high school.
Right.
Like, this isn't going to go well. And the meeting actually was very well. She said, look, I agree with you. We do have a problem. We have lacked in this area. What can we do? And I said, well, look, the DNC founded a youth council in 2005. We're almost 20 years behind them. Let's at least found a council, bring Gen Z to the table. Joey, there was one problem. There was no table for Gen Z to sit at. They had not made a youth council yet. So we had to build a table, and then we brought Gen Z to it, and that's what we've been doing. We've been traveling to college campuses, and now we're meeting with legislators. We're trying to get some stuff passed and appreciate you.
Now, I've heard Gen Z characterized as sometimes they can be in politics, let's just say, nihilist about our institutions. Like, they kind of see through the BS, for lack sure. of a better term. Yet, Gen Z also strikes me as much more self-starting than, say, the millennial yes, generation.
Absolutely.
So can you speak to that odd mix of, it seems like they're very wise. They grew up with the internet, Gen
yes.
Z did. And yet, they're not just kind of sitting and complaining. Y'all are actually yeah. getting stuff done.
They are, and we actually want to do stuff. So we've been traveling to college campuses over the past year, and every single college campus I've been to, Republican or Democrat, regardless of what the student is, their background that comes up to me, they say there's clearly a problem in our country. There's clearly something we need to fix. Let's fix it. And so we can agree. We can have some common ground. Obviously, we disagree on some of the more divisive issues, but we can find common ground to come together and say, the guy that's in the Oval Office right now has got to go. And they might have a solution where they think a more, you know, liberal person needs to be there. We obviously think a more conservative person needs to be there, but we can agree that we need to get him out to start with.
Right.
And so that's where we start registering voters. The big thing right now is college students, specifically conservatives, haven't famously been registered to vote before. We need to make sure they're registered to vote. We need to be getting specifically to young people. Listen, Joey, I've got breaking news for you. Joe Biden is losing
young
Joey
people. Too.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's losing young
You're
people.
Getting great young people. But Joe Biden is losing young people. And this is our chance for the first time in decades for the Republican Party to win the youth vote. That's huge. That's monumental. That's historic. We have a shot, but we have to work for it. And it starts by registering people. So that's what we've been doing because, to your point, they realize they see through the BS, as you said. We need to get them on our side. We need to get them registered. And that's what we're doing.
So it's a part reaching out, just talking to folks, but also
yes.
creating sort of the infrastructure
yes.
to get out the vote.
That's the hard part, but yes.
Are you still allowed to, like, throw a kegger or something at colleges to, like, get people to show up?
We haven't tried that yet, but we did develop a program called Bank Your Vote, where you can go online to bankyourvote.com. There's state-specific websites, and it's really simple. This is actually one of my favorite things we've gotten to do this year. You put your first name, your last name, your phone number, and your zip code. That's it. You will not hear from us till it's time to, you know, for the deadlines to come up. So when it's deadline for absentee ballot, when it's deadline for voter registration, we'll reach out to you and say, hey, we know you've got a lot of college classes going on. We know you've got exams going on. We just want to remind you, you have, you know, 2 weeks left to make sure you get your vote cast. You have 2 weeks left to make sure you register to vote. Our college students are not aware of that. They're not keeping up with that because they're busy with everything else. So that's that thing of making it accessible and sending a reminder. So I think Bank Your Vote is historic. I think it'll be monumental as we go into this election season. Hopefully we see good results.
Now, I'm kind of proud of myself, I guess. I've interviewed a lot of folks, including great folks, including yourself, Brylan. But
thank you.
I believe, did you not have the opportunity to actually interview Trump?
I've not yet. I've
not
met
yet.
With him.
Met
yes,
with him.
We talked about that last time. Yes.
Yeah, but what is it like actually meeting the man in person?
It's really cool. You know, I've met with him three separate times now, and the most recent time was here in Alabama. It was the night that I was on your show, and when he came for that nice little state party fundraiser.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and we met before his speech. And he said, you know, what can we do to help with the youth vote? And he's actually interested because he loves to have different experts around him and get different opinions. And I said, well, sir, first of all, we got to start reaching out because there's been no reach out in the past. And obviously, he knows social media well. A lot of our other friends are politicians that are a little older in age. It's difficult to tell them that social media reaches people. Donald Trump knows that better than I do. So the second I say, let's reach him through social media, his mind starts turning. Well, how can we do that? And I said, well, you know, True Social's great. Let's get on Instagram. Let's get on some other networks that young people actually were on. 2 weeks after that conversation, he rejoined Instagram. So I can't take credit for it, but at least he's listening. And that's a good thing to have from your top of the ticket nominee. He listens. He wants to ask you questions. He wants to be in the know. He loves experts around him. So it was really cool to have that conversation. I did make some Alabama football jokes. You know, he's a big sports fan. And to the end of our conversation, I was like, you got to come back to Tuscaloosa. We're doing a debate pretty soon. And if you want to come to a football game, we'd love to have you too. He didn't come to game. He didn't come to debate, but there's a whole other season coming up before with a new coach that he might be interested in. So we might see him back in Bryant-Denny soon.
And he got a great reception. I think he'll get another
one. He loves the state innovation, so he gets a free one in Bryant-Denny.
And there's something about when he connects with, like, say, the sports crowd. I don't know if you've seen those videos where he walks into a UFC event.
Yes.
But it's just unreal. It's like a 70,000-man army ready to go.
Yes.
And there's something about Trump, even though, he's almost 80-something, if he isn't already. So, but he still connects, I think, with folks across generations and a lot of folks you wouldn't suspect, like the billionaire who's famous for, like, you know, gold plating things is actually connecting with everyday working folks. And I think it's a the joke I often use, I steal it from George Carlin. He said this about Bill Clinton. Oh. And one guy says to the other, that Bill Clinton is full of crap. And the other guy says back, yeah, but at least he's honest about it. There's a certain element to where Trump does that hyperbolic advertising.
Yes.
And I think it really it plays into people. Now, you have a new book coming out. When is it coming out again?
July 9th. It's available for pre-order now, though, at brylinbook.com. Signed copies are on there. It's also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. One Generation Away is officially available for pre-order, and we get to talk about it, so I'm excited about that.
So One Generation Away, and we've already talked about this a little bit, but you know, I've continued the conversation on these airwaves. I think we're almost in a spiritual moment. So are you seeing that on college campuses? And I mean, I've seen some of the events at Auburn and Alabama were mass baptisms, but even short of that, it seems like even the, say, secular, the people searching, are speaking in more spiritual terms these days.
Yes, absolutely. And since the last time we've talked about this, they had that mass baptism on UA's campus. I was there. Yeah. They had 6,000 students in Coleman Coliseum, which is amazing to have 6,000 students on a Wednesday night. Be like, oh, wow, like I'm going to actually go to a worship event and worship. That was amazing. But what was even more amazing was to see 250 students get baptized after that, to say I'm going to make that actual public commitment of my faith. That was incredible. The last time you and I spoke a few weeks ago, I said that the middle section of my book was called The Modern Day F-Words, Faith, Family, and Freedom. And I told you I got a little bit of pushback from some of my team. They're like, you can't call it The Modern Day F-Words. This is a book. Like, all the old people are like, that's crazy. You can't do that. You're going to freak everybody out. And I was like, no. Listen. Faith, family, freedom are all taboo in modern-day America. They're all under attack. Why? Because that's what the left hates the most. They hate faith, they hate family, they hate freedom. And that's what we need to bring back. If we want a revival in this nation, it starts with faith, absolutely. And we back that up by strong families. And we back that up with having the freedom to worship God. So people were like, how can you tie these revivals that are going on back into your book? I can do it simply by saying that we have to have a revival. It cannot happen if we don't have faith, if we don't have strong families, if we don't have freedom. Because if we don't have freedom, we can't worship God. We will not have a free America for my generation and the generation to follow me to grow up in. It's so important, and I appreciate you giving time to stuff like that.
Of course, and well, yesterday we played a clip of all people, the author of The God Delusion, Richard Dawkins, was calling himself a cultural Christian in a recent interview.
Wow.
And some say he's been saying stuff like that for years, but like he's saying it now explicitly.
Yeah.
He's still, I still don't believe. But it's like, why are you saying this now, Richard? Like, it is an odd time where I think we're reassessing first principles, reassessing our foundations. Now, as you travel around the country, you're going nationwide, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you seeing, like, certain places that, you know, nothing's a lost cause, but... like, you've been to the UC Berkeley campus, for instance?
No, they've not invited me, Joey, to no surprise. Right. I'm not invited to Berkeley yet.
So, like, I'm wondering, one change that could happen to this country, because there's the formal centers of power in politics, you know, elected officials and whatnot, but there's these informal systems, say, in corporate media and in the university system. And one change that could be huge is, you know, we're going to have Caroline Dobson on here in a second. She went to Harvard. And you hear Harvard, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Smart woman here. But I think there's also folks these days go, oh, Harvard. Ugh. So you're one of those weird, blue-haired types. And do you think that change of reputation of our major institutions, though it hurts to see people lacking trust, does that change lead to something good?
It can. It can, because I think people will grow frustrated at some point. I think we see, obviously, I'll give a shout out to Auburn's campus. This is coming from Tuscaloosa boy, but Auburn has one of the most organized Turning Point USA and CR chapters in the nation. They've won an award last year for one of the most organized. It's incredible. So they're doing a great job. Obviously, Auburn, a pretty famously conservative campus. I'm not too concerned about there. We go to other campuses. I haven't been to Berkeley yet, but I've been to some close. Mm-hmm. And we go to some of our more liberal campuses, more liberal states, obviously get a little bit of pushback and criticism. But like I told you at the beginning, we even have liberals who voted for Joe Biden or their parents voted for Joe Biden, and they see that there's trouble in the country, not just the economy, but at the southern border with what's going on everywhere. They see that there's issues. They want to change that. So I think there'll be a level of frustration that grows at some point that people start boycotting this movement that the left has built with these campuses. And you'll like this. The first chapter of the book is called The Birth of the American Teenager.
Okay.
It talks about kind of how it's kind of a history. My history nerd comes out in that section. We kind of give you a history lesson in chapter one, chapter two, or section two. We kind of talk about what's going on. And then section three is my favorite because we give a roadmap to success going forward for the party in the nation. But in chapter two, it specifically talks about Marxism and how it got into the education system, because that's where it seeped in. When we had the hippie movement come in and the Marxist teachers and professors came into education, they've been there ever since, and they've been indoctrinating our children. And that's why this book's important. This book, my debut book, One Generation Away, is for my generation. It's for my peers that are concerned about what's going on in the country, that don't think that there's going to be a free America for them to grow up in. But it's also for parents. Parents that see the indoctrination that's going on in their kids' classrooms, that are fed up with this and won't change, that want to stop and push back against indoctrination. And third, it's for grandparents. Grandparents that want to teach their children and grandchildren about conservatism, but they don't know how. It's difficult. It's very hard to talk about this stuff,
right,
Joey. This book's for everybody. That's why I encourage your audience to go pre-order it, One Generation Away, on brownlandbook.com, because we've got to get to them, and we can start changing the campus. You're absolutely right. It starts on campuses, then it goes into the homes.
Now, as me, and I imagine you're also doing a lot of media,
yes,
and I do not say anything about me, but I mean, like, when you talk to rising stars in media, yourself included, who really has impressed? Like, you're, like, blown away by a particular rising star, usually a younger person.
So yesterday, that's only been yesterday. Wow, that's what you say. I did a media day. We had about, 10, 12 different interviews back-to-back. Some were radio, some were podcasts. We booked all the people that have reached out into one day because I was off of school for Easter Monday. And I did an interview with this 15-year-old, and it was really cool. He has this up-and-coming podcast. His name is Gabe, and I'm going to be sharing his interview in a second on my social medias, and it was really fun. It was a 30-minute conversation. He went in-depth. He had, 12 prepared questions for me,
right,
and it wasn't like what Joe Biden gets. It wasn't what's your favorite ice cream flavor.
Right.
It was, why did you go into this area at this time? Why do you think the book's necessary because of what could happen here? Do you really think revival is possible? How could we do that? Not just is Trump going to win in November? Like, it's
right.
How does Trump win? What can we do to make sure that things happen after Trump's election? And so he was very into it. I've really, it was so cool to see other young people. And I shared that story later on, another interview, and the guy was like, oh, is that not competition? Like, do you not like view that? I was like, absolutely
no.
Not. Like, I was like, it made my day. I was so inspired to see Gabe and other young people stand up and speak out. And so that's what kind of keeps me going. And by seeing people coming, my favorite thing is having people come up at college campuses and they're like, hey, because of you, I started simply posting stuff on my Instagram story.
Mm.
I might have lost followers, I might have lost friends, but I spoke my mind on my Instagram story and I won some people over, and it worked out in the process. That's inspiring. That's why we keep going. That's what we hope to see.
Now, to end with, because you said you're really into history.
Yes.
number one, I would recommend, if you haven't read him already, Arthur Herman. He's been guest on the show. I think he's still in the National Security Council. But
that's awesome.
The two I would recommend are his first one. It's a little crunchy, a little dense, but it's The Idea of Decline in Western History.
Okay.
And so he lays out all the different left-wing and right-wing ideologies that popped up that said, oh, the West is done. We're done. We've lost our soul, so to speak. And he lays out how, whether it's the Unabomber, Al Gore, or Spengler in Germany, all these people were wrong. We keep defying that. And then I'd also recommend his book, The Cave in the Light, which is a history of the West through the lens of Plato versus Aristotle. It's a freaking brilliant book. And he has a bunch of others. He's a Pulitzer finalist. Really great guy. But I'd imagine you're going to study history when you're going to college. What sort of area do you already have sort of a itch to look more into?
The lieutenant governor just asked me that question already. That's a great question. So I'm currently taking AP US History right now. It's my favorite class I've ever taken. And it's not one of those that I like I'm bored by. Like, it's always interesting. I'm always learning something else. There's all these, like, tiny little minute details that really played such a huge